Hey, spooky patrons.
Hi, hi, hi.
We're here to talk about our new topic on bonus episodes. Super excited about it. We are talking about haunted houses. We're going to do one haunted house per state for the entire 50 states of the United States.
I'm digging, because I know last time, because we just finished our state legends for each of the 50 states. I like this whole, you know, 50 states and different spooky things that go along with them. I dig that.
Me too. I hope after this haunted house one, I can find something else that's like state themed that we can go through a list. You know, that would be cool. So I haven't chosen these haunted houses. This is a list, and I'm going to put the link in the show notes as always. This is a list that somebody else has made of their top picks. So this is one haunted house in each of the 50 states, and it's alphabetical. So just as last time, our first five for this episode are Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, and California.
I will tell you, having moved from Washington, Oregon to Alabama, whenever I have to fill stuff out on my phone, and you know how you go through and you select your state, I no longer have to spin like it's, you know, freaking Wheel of Fortune. I'm the first option now. It's so nice.
Nice. See, I'm in Ohio, so I still have to spin it. So, you know. And I went from Florida to Ohio, so it was less spinning. To more spinning. But from one crazy state to another crazy state, because both of those states are whacked.
Yeah.
All right, so we're starting with Alabama. Alabama's choice on this website, and this website is called housebeautiful.com, and I will put the link in the show notes. And their first choice for Alabama is Sweetwater Mansion in Florence.
All right. Florence, Alabama is about 4 hours north of me. It's like right near the border of Alabama, Tennessee.
Oh, okay. So it's North Alabama. It was built by General John Brahan, a veteran of the War of 1812. The Sweetwater Mansion was completed in 1835 and first occupied by Brahan's son-in-law, Robert Patton, who would later become governor of Alabama. Many stories have been told of ghosts residing in the old plantation house, including one in which a caretaker came downstairs one day to find a casket laid out with a Confederate soldier inside. It is believed the phantom casket and body belonged to one of Patton's sons who died during the Civil War and whose funeral service was held in the mansion. There have also been reports of shadowy figures, women dressed in 19th century garb, and disembodied whispers. Objects have been moved on their own accord, and some have reported hearing the sounds of children laughing and playing when no children have been in the house.
Alrighty.
I mean, that qualifies.
Brooke's not going.
No, she would not do that. She would not go to any of these places.
She has a serious thing about haunted kids, though.
Yeah, that happens to her. Like, kind of a lot. I mean, more than me. Well, okay, well, maybe not more than me, but as much as me. The haunted children. Of course, right now I got that weird haunted lady hanging out in my house. I don't know what her deal is. We have Alaska next, and it is Bejeek Towers, I'm guessing, in Whittier. And it is in Alaska. And so basically, get this, in this town, this building is a gigantic apartment building that most of the town's residents live in. So there is no escaping this haunting. Like, everybody lives in it. It says, this building was built for servicemen and their families in 1952. But after the Army withdrew from ownership of the building, it became condominiums for most of Whittier's residents. Many residents in the apartment block have reported a weird, shadowy apparition roaming the hallways late at night, as well as strange voices, the rattling of chains, and the sound of whistling.
Seems legit.
At least you have validation, right? Because everyone in town knows it's haunted because everyone right. in town lives there. So it's kind of like, hey, did you hear the chains rattling last night? Yeah, totally did. They don't have to ever go ghost hunting because they're already there.
Oh, jeez.
Our next one is Arizona, which is the Rosson House in Phoenix, Arizona. That's R-O-S-S-O-N, Rosson.
Mm-hmm.
This house is freaking gorgeous. Red brick. It looks very gothic. It's got very pointed roof, and it's got a wraparound porch on the second floor. Like, it's just red brick with dark grayish black trim. Oh my gosh. It looks straight out of any good scary movie you might watch. But it's actually a museum now.
Definitely looks haunted, though.
Yeah, it does. Yes, it does. It's called the Rosson House Museum. It says the museum is fully restored, and it's built in 1895, and it's brick, not adobe. I don't know why they had to, like, specify that, but it says it's a Queen Anne Gothic Victorian.
Okay.
It showcases the life of a wealthy family, as well as families who were not so wealthy who lived there. During the Rosson years, the mansion was not only beautiful, but had very practical functions that made life a whole lot easier. It had hot and cold running water, an upstairs bathroom, electric lights and electric doorbells, a telephone, and refined decor and furniture, creating a house that could have been found in the wealthy neighborhoods of San Francisco. Though it didn't have air conditioning, residents could attach a cord to the light fixtures and run fans in various rooms. The home had the common area rooms on the first floor, with the bedrooms on the second floor. On the ground floor, Dr. Rosson had his professional office and surgical quarters, helping the people of Phoenix to be healthy. There was also a parlor, the dining room, kitchen, etc. So now we know why it's haunted.
The doctor.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. He must have done surgeries. I bet people died there. The spirit of the murdered caretaker. Most of the activity happens after hours and is reported by living caretakers, though day staff and visitors sometimes experience things too. Doors lock on their own. In fact, caretakers after hours have been locked out of a room when nobody living was inside. Items are moved around the mansion by unseen hands. Fireplaces have radiated heat when they weren't burning anything.
That's creepy.
Yeah. The spirit of a man has appeared in front of staff and other caretakers. There are enough clear details of the spirit that are reported by witnesses to identify it as being the murdered caretaker. Footsteps are heard going up and down the staircase. The sounds of someone going about their business at hand have been heard in places where the living are not present. In the early 1980s, one of the museum's caretakers was shot dead just outside of the Rosson House. The place hasn't been the same since. The murdered caretaker now haunts the Rosson House Museum, and he's appeared to both employees and guests alike. Visitors on tour might catch a silhouette or shadow out of the corner of their eye, and some have been lucky enough to see a full apparition. Quite a few have stated that the ghost hangs out around the staircase, as many have heard phantom footsteps walking up the steps. Others have seen a shadow dart up and down the stairs, often from the corner of their eye. So they still didn't tell us, like, why he got shot. They just said he got shot dead outside of the house. Maybe somebody was trying to rob them or something.
Or maybe he owed someone too much money.
Well, I'm going to put this link in the show notes because this link has a lot of good information about the house. So if you want to know more, check the link in the show notes. That is the Rosson House Museum.
Very pretty.
Beautiful. Our fourth one is Arkansas, which is Peel Mansion in Bentonville, Arkansas. I hope that I live in a house one day that has mansion in the title of it, you know?
We're, I think, 4,000 square feet short of being a mansion.
Oh, there's an actual square footage requirement?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Aw. And what is the square footage?
It's got to be 10-something, I think, because we're 5,800 square feet.
Wow. Yeah, I've seen pictures of your house. It is freaking amazing.
There's so much to clean.
Nanny and Grandpa's is about 7,000, so I guess they don't qualify either. Mm-mm. I've always referred to their house as a mansion, though, because it's so huge.
Yeah.
And it's three stories, and it's gothic.
There are mansion requirements.
Well, that's ridiculous. It will always be a mansion in my heart. Peel Mansion has its very own ghost. The English family moved into the Peel Mansion in the 1920s. Mr. W.L. English was an agricultural agent for the Frisco Railroad. He purchased the house and 180 acres on which he planned to have an apple orchard. He was also the man who put stucco on the outside of the mansion. There were two girls and two boys in the family. The family member we're going to talk about is the daughter, Marjorie, who had a twin sister, Elizabeth. The kids had the run of the farm. They also listened to a lot of tall tales told about the house by tenant workers. One day when Marjorie was outside playing tennis, she suddenly felt a pain in her side. The doctor was called, but could not find anything wrong. What the doctor may not have been aware of is that the twins, sometimes one of the twins, will have their appendix on the opposite side of what is normal. Oh, wow.
Really?
I guess. That was the case here, and the appendix had swelled and ruptured. The surgeon was called for and arrived with his nurse. By this time, Marjorie wasn't doing very well. Two kitchen tables were brought to the upstairs bedroom and scrubbed down, and sawdust was put on the floor. The surgeon opened her up, and the infection was so bad that the nurse fainted. The doctor determined that there was almost no chance she would survive. The doctor didn't even sew her back up. The nurse was left behind to care for the girl. For the next 10 days... That's lazy. That is lazy doctoring right there. Don't even sew her back up. The nurse was left behind to care for the girl. For the next 10 days, the girl stayed alive. At one point, Marjorie woke up to see her father beside her crying. She asked him why he was crying, and he said, "Because you're sick." She looked at him and replied, "Don't worry, I feel so wonderful." At that point, she passed away. So she said she felt wonderful and then died.
That happens.
The father called the nurse, who pronounced the girl dead, and put a sheet over her body. Marjorie slowly felt herself being lifted up and passed through a wall. The next thing she knew, she was in a meadow floating above the ground. At that time, she could see no colors. Everything was peaceful and quiet, and she wasn't afraid. Then there was a bright light she felt was beckoning her. She headed toward it, but ran into something that would not let her go any further. She tried to go around it, but she couldn't. She was unable to do anything but go back the way she came. Marjorie was under the sheet for 5 hours when all of a sudden someone saw the sheet move. They pulled the sheet off of her, and much to their surprise, they found her alive. They went ahead and dressed the surgical wound. Finally! When she was able, the family moved her to a bed downstairs where she could be a part of the family activities. For the next year, all she did was recover from her illness as daily routines went on around her. The tenant workers on the farm, who were very superstitious, said her spirit couldn't find its way back to the body because it was covered with a sheet. Marjorie said she never talked to anyone about the experience because she didn't believe anyone would listen to her, and people just didn't talk about death back then. One time after Marjorie was married, she brought her husband, William Tolson, back to see the house. At the time, the house was owned by Lee Allen. As the Tolsons walked around the house, she noticed that the room where she had had her surgery was locked. When she asked why, she was told he didn't want anyone going into that room because it was haunted by a little girl. She said she tried to tell him that she was the one who had died in that room, but he didn't believe her. She said that the events of that day didn't make her more religious, but rather more spiritual. She also had strong views on resuscitation and life support, believing that the machines deprived the dying person of a pleasant experience. It keeps them hovering and won't let them go. She has never been able to fully understand why she had come back to her body. She did believe in life after death, and she believed death would be one of the most beautiful experiences anyone will ever have. As a result, she was not afraid or anxious about dying again. Marjorie passed away again in August 2000.
Wow.
Wow. So she died technically, but then she came back. But owners after that still believed that that room was haunted. They were getting experiences in there.
So maybe like part of her soul is stuck?
Maybe. Maybe Ugh. She opened a gateway or a door or something. I wonder if she haunts the room now.
I wonder what the twin experienced during this time, too.
Yeah, because I've heard that whole thing where twins can feel each other's pain and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that twins could have organs on opposite sides and things.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
That's cool. Well, that's the story of Peel Mansion. That's a cool one. All right, we're to our last one, which is California.
Alrighty.
You guys have probably heard of this one. California's is the Whaley House in San Diego.
I have not heard of that one.
Really?
Mm-mm.
I have heard of the Whaley House briefly, but I don't remember a lot of details, so we're about to learn stuff together. On May 6, 1856, Thomas Whaley began construction on his new home and proclaimed, "My new house, when completed, will be the handsomest, most comfortable, and convenient place in town or within 150 miles of here." That's a very conceited kind of thing to proclaim. I don't know, like, who does that? I proclaim. The two-story Greek Revival house was designed by Thomas Whaley and made from bricks created in Whaley's very own brickyard on Condé Street, furnished with mahogany and rosewood furniture, Brussels carpets, and costing more than $10,000 upon completion. The Whaley house was overwhelmingly praised as the first of its kind and finest home in Southern California.
Our house is a Greek Revival.
Nice. Although the Whaley House was a communal treasure, it primarily served as the residential home for Thomas Whaley and his family. Thomas Whaley arrived in California around 1849 during the famous California Gold Rush. Upon arrival, he set up a store with George Wardle on Montgomery Street in San Francisco. It was there where he sold hardware and woodwork from his family's New York business, Pye and Whaley, as well as offering mining equipment and utensils on consignment. Shortly after marriage in 1855, Thomas and Anna returned to San Diego. It was then that Thomas Whaley purchased the land and set forth on his journey to build the finest home in California. By 1858, Thomas and Anna Whaley had produced three children: Francis, named for a business partner, Thomas, who died at 18 months old, and Anna. Later in life, the Whaleys welcomed three more children: George, named for a business partner, Violet, and Corrine. The haunted side of the Whaley house. Over the years, many descendants of the Whaley family lived and died in the house, including Anna and a few of the children, Thomas Jr., Violet, and Francis. Although the Whaley family's unfortunate past plays a key role in the home's chilling history, many believed it was destined to be haunted before construction even began. The eerie legacy of the Whaley house continued to grow as the family was struck with tragic deaths, as well as paranormal and spiritual encounters that many still discover today.
Oh boy.
The property was infamous amongst the community as the site where horse thief Yankee Jim Robinson was publicly executed. Oh my good night. You built a house on top of an execution spot? Thomas Whaley was nevertheless unfazed by the location's grim history and continued to build his dream home.
First mistake.
Yeah. Classic horror movie mistake. It wasn't long after the Whaley family moved into the home that sadness and despair were thrust upon them when their young son Thomas, who was only 18 months old, died of scarlet fever inside the house. Baby Thomas, who'd been the first in the family to pass away, had always stayed close by, as reported by many who have visited the home. They could hear tiny footsteps and sounds of him crying, even giggling when no one was in sight. Thomas, Anna, and several other spirits have also been felt within the home, on the stairwells and on the property. Mists, lights turning on and off by themselves, and crystals in the parlor room's lamp swinging without any prompt are all signs that the Whaley house still belongs to the many who called it home over the years.
Oh boy. That's quite the house.
They built that big old beautiful house on top of an execution spot. People, let's do better, okay? Unless you're going for the haunted thing, but I don't recommend it. One star. One star. Do not recommend. But the Whaley house is really popular. You can absolutely go there and do tours. They do ghost hunts sometimes. It's a museum, technically. So you can go to that. So I'm going to put the link in the show notes. You guys go check it out and see what you can see. So those are our five haunted houses. Alabama was Sweetwater Mansion. Alaska was the towers where everybody in the town lives. No getting out of the haunting there.
Nope.
Arizona is the Rossin House.
So pretty.
Very beautiful. Arkansas is Peel Mansion. And California is the Whaley House. If you guys have been to any of these places, go in the Facebook group and tell us about it. We totally want to hear about it.
Or you can always give us a story submission and we'll read it.
You can do that. Cynthia@truehauntings.com. So we'll cover five more next month. And until then, we'll spook you later.